Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Welcome. It's good to see you, because I don't see very well, so you all look very good. Let's have a prayer. Father, we're thankful that you are a joyful God who is merciful and gracious and always wonderful, the absolute gentleman, all that we would strive to be by your Spirit. So I pray that you would touch our lives, open our eyes, and help us to remember how precious we all are in your sight. We'll be thankful to give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Things do not often appear as they really are. Wednesday night, I was sharing with people about a construction crew whose leader's name was Tex. So his new recruit said to him, "Well, Tex, are you from Texas?" He said, "No, I'm not from Texas." "You're not from Texas. Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Louisiana." He said, "Then why do you make people think you're from Texas?" He said, "Because I don't want people to call me Louise." I used to be on the school board in Washington Island where I was a pastor. And before any student began classes formally for the first time, they did a psychological test. And the test consisted of this. They had four pencils, red, yellow, green, and black. They were to draw pictures of their mother, their father, their pets, or their brothers. And this one little girl drew all of them in black. And of course, the psychologist said, "Oh, look at that. They're all in black. Maybe we better do a background check on the parents and investigate what's going on." And I said, "Well, before you do that, why don't you ask the little girl why she did them black?" So the little girl came in and I said, "Excuse me, but why did you make your mother, your father, your brother in black?" She said, "All the other pencils were broken." Sometimes, you see, things don't appear as they really are. The Bible begins with God at work in the dark. Genesis 1:2 says, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep." You see, God brings light out of darkness. Since God works in the dark, many times we can't see him. I'm sure you've had times in your life you said, "Well, where is God? I mean, where is he? I don't see him." God works in the dark. And because you can't see in the dark doesn't mean that he can't. And so many times we just don't seem to understand the ways of God. Sometimes it's very confusing. But remember this, there are certain portions of Scripture that on the surface seem to contradict themselves. I'll give you an example. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 9. Well, German is, 9 means no, right, Turdy? Okay, I don't know if it does or not, but I'm saying it does. Chapter 19, verse 9. Listen to this verse. "But an evil spirit from the Lord came on Saul as he was sitting in his house with a spear in his hand." What? "But an evil spirit from the Lord." What? "Came on Saul as he was sitting in his house with a spear in his hand." Here's what that means. You see, people always looked at Saul on the outside. He was a head taller than anyone else. He was a brave fighter and a brave leader. He was a mighty king and esteemed and honored by all of Israel. But they only saw from the outside. God looks at the heart. And so what he did was he sent an evil spirit to expose King Saul's evil heart. He had it in his heart to kill David. Do you understand? God looked at the heart. The nation of Israel looked at the outside. And what God did is he sent an evil spirit to so the nation of Israel could see the wickedness of Saul's heart, what his real motives were. And that's kind of exciting. We always look at the outside, but God always looks at the heart. I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read verses 23 through 25. When you have it, just someone raise your hand. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, there we go. We know all of you who are Jewish now. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, and they read like this. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another, to provoke one another, and to good works, unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as ye see the day approaching. The purpose of attending church is more than just to hear the scriptures, more than just to sing, more than just to worship. The purpose for attending church is so that we can meet together as a body of believers. Let me give you an illustration. A couple is on their way to church, and the husband is nattering at the wife, "Hurry up, come on, hurry up, hurry up, come on." And the wife says, "Ah, you're so impatient, what's the matter with you?" And they're really nattering back and forth. It's just awful. They get to the parking lot, and they're still nattering one another before they get in church. Well, you, what do you mean, blah, 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 blah. And suddenly they get in church, and she's the perfect wife. The younger women say, "Look, honor your husbands. Be great and faithful. Be an example of the believer." And then he comes in, and he's the decorum of gentlemen. And he gets the young woman around him, and he says, "You know," he said, "you got to remember, men, women have to be treated. If you treat her like a queen, you become a king." And he's the perfect decorum and wisdom. And you say to yourself, "Huh, they're being hypocritical." No, they're not being hypocritical. The purpose of going to church is so that you can practice the principles of the Christian life. You go to church to meet with people so you can practice the proper attitudes of Christian living. Older saints who are wiser, spirit-filled, led by the Lord, lead by example, and they teach and train the younger saints. So they're really practicing their faith. So when this couple went to church, they weren't being hypocritical. They were merely practicing their Christian faith so they could put it into practice once they get into their marriages, into their lives, into their families, and into their world. We come to church for fellowship so we can practice the principles of godly living. And that's what we come for. That's just one of the reasons, but it's so important. People are not hypocrites. They're just practicing the Christian life. Now, there's another interesting verse in John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. So I'm going to let you look that up. John chapter 11, verses 38 through 44. We're going to read verses 38 through 44. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank thee that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." We gather together as Christians to help new believers and free them from the grave clothes, free them from the old life. Free them from the things that have dragged them down. Free them from alcoholism, from pornography, from drug addiction, from anger, from insults, from pride. We gather to help new believers to free them from the grave clothes. That's part of what we're to do. Set them free. Enable them. When people are on parole and released from prison, they're given certain instructions. And some of those instructions are not to get in contact with any of the people who were once in your life. Separate yourself from your old contacts. Separate yourself from the old way of living. We have to help people understand there are certain things they have to separate themselves from, okay, to help them. So we as Christians are given the honor of removing the grave clothes, helping people who've been in bondage to be free. That's part of what you do. That's part of what I do. That's part of what God would have us do. Now, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to explain to you what I just said. All right? I'm going to explain to you the purpose of this sermon. One, don't judge a book by its cover. Do you know today in publishing, they put more stress on the cover and they make the cover as interesting as they can because it's not what content of the book that sells it anymore. It's the cover. Have you ever watched a trailer to a movie and you see the trailer? Hey, you can't judge the movie by the trailer. Don't judge a book by its cover. Okay, don't do that. Don't make judgments about people. Don't make judgments. Don't do that. You can't judge by the cover. Point number two, just because you can't see God doesn't mean that he can't see you. Just because you're going through darkness and you're bewildered, and why didn't God answer this prayer, or why did God let this one go, or why did God work this way, and why did this happen? Don't do that. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean that God can't see you. You ever play peekaboo with a child? Peekaboo! Peekaboo! Do you realize when a child does this, because they can't see you, they think you can't see them? Did you know that? Children really think because they can't see you, you can't see them. Just because you can't see God doesn't mean he doesn't see you. You've got to understand that. And point three, God works with groups of people at the same time. That's why you need fellowship. Why? Because there's a better chance that someone is listening to him if there's more people there. There's a better chance in a group of people that at least one is listening to him. Now, when I was studying chemistry at the University of Illinois, one of our teachers said, well, now what you have to do is you have to solve this equation. You have to balance this equation. He said, I don't care how you do it. I don't care what method you use. I don't care who you contact. Just come back with a solution. Open book, whatever. So one of the group I studied with said, hey, listen, here's what we're going to do. He said, we're going to go contact a chemist. And we're going to say to the chemist, how do you balance this equation? We paid him $100. He balanced the equation. We went back to class and said, here it is. And the teacher said, what did you do? I said, well, we went and hired a chemist. He said, good for you. You were listening to me. He said, solve it any way you can. Open book, whatever. He said, you used your heads. Now, let me tell you something. It's always best to go to the head chemist. So why don't you try to going to God himself? Why don't you do that? Why don't you just go right to the head man, God himself? He can solve the equation. Just because you can't see him doesn't mean he doesn't see you. He works in the dark. Number four, children learn by imitating their parents. One of the things that was so cute, and Mickey does this so well, when children learn to say no, and little child say, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. Where'd they learn that? No, 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 no. And I used to think, boy, we're really negative with our children. Everything is no, 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 no. And you ever read the Ten Commandments? No, 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 no. But you know what I understood? Once a child understands what no means, everything else is yes. Huh. And the parents don't say no just to be mean. God doesn't say no just to be mean, just to cut us out of our fun. God says no because he wants us to survive, to prosper, to live a happy, fulfilled life, to be all he created us to be. Interesting, isn't it? And then finally, number five, we set prisoners free. We talked about that briefly. But you know what it means to set a prisoner free? There's someone that you know who needs to be set free. There's someone you know right now who needs to be set free. And you only set them free by being free yourself. It's really interesting. You become an important part in developing people's lives of maturity. Now, I can sing with the radio turned up. I can sing, but I change keys. I change keys. And I know I'm doing it, but I can't stop. So years ago, they used to have a pitch pipe. And set the, you remember those? Who remembers pitch pipes? Oh, thank goodness. They'd go, and I'd go, and I'd be fine. And I could sing the whole song. Didn't change the key. Well, let me tell you something. You are the key that helps other people get their life in tune. They'll watch you. It's not what you say. It's not what you say. It's what you are. It's what they see, not what you say. And we said this to you before. If you take two pianos and place them in the same room with a certain humidity. If you play a note on one piano, the other piano will play the same note. So the key to fellowship is to get to the piano first and set the key. You can set the key for everybody around you. And people are watching. People are listening. And people are wondering, God, working in the dark, I don't see him, but he sees you. Peekaboo. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for how simply splendid you are. Thankful we are, Lord, that you helped us grow through our lives. And though we were weak, you were strong. Though we were helpless, you were able. Though we were evil, you were good. You have always been gracious and kind and loving and patient. And for that, we thank you. And we pray that everyone here would understand that when we practice our faith, we practice it with believers who are practicing it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.